glad you're here this morning, and good to see the worship team back, right? Praise the Lord for that. And this morning, I think I want to talk to you about, I have a title for the sermon, and it's Disciples Face Tribulation, and I just wish I did a better job of having these titles and making them a little bit more crisp, but I really don't know what to do with it other than just say, Disciples Face Tribulation Together. And so this morning, what I want to say to you is, if some of you who don't know me real well, normally I'm not preaching about the return of Jesus Christ on a regular basis. I know a lot of preachers do. One of the things I always made a commitment to do was just to simply talk about the need for Christians to live with Jesus as their Lord in this world now. And so I know we've been going through a lot of scripture, and we're certainly hopefully connecting scripture to the times that we're living in. And so I don't want you all to think that I'm just one of those doomsday guys, because it's not my goal. That really isn't my goal. And I want you to know that a lot of what we're sharing today in particular is because I care for all of you. And I feel like I have to qualify what I'm saying, because I know that in the church, there are other voices right now. And it's hard to figure out who's right and who's wrong. I know it shouldn't come down to that, but that's what's happening. That's the reality that we live in. You know, I was in Indiana, and I was playing basketball for our high school, and I love it. I love to compete. I don't know about you all, but I just love to compete. And I mean, I just would do that all day long if I could do it, if I had the body that could do it. Now, I can't even shoot a three-pointer anymore. Some kid beat me just this week at shooting baskets. I haven't been able to make a shot since I was 45. So I don't know. Tom Brady makes me sick. I don't know how he's still doing it, but he's doing it, right? But I love to compete. And I love being a part of that team. And I was in trouble a lot, but I loved it. And we have the state tournament in Indiana, and it was the sectionals is what we would call it. If you ever seen the movie Hoosiers, you know what I'm talking about. And it would be the very last tournament, the very last game of the year. And because of that movie, the Hoosiers, we only had one class. We didn't have 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, or nothing like that. We had one class because that little school back in the 1950s, Milan, went and beat Indianapolis, Ben Franklin or some team, this big old team, and they just beat them. And so that's what that movie's based on. So because the Cinderella team won, they would not have different classes. So what that meant was that a small school like mine, where I was the center of the team, I'm only 6'3", which we'd have to go against guys that might be 6'10", 6'11", sometimes. We would have to go against those large schools. And what you should know about me is that I'm going to be the one that when it's time to go and go hard, I'm going to tell everybody it's time to go and go hard. I just can't help it. And so sometimes I think I offended my teammates because some of them I was a little young. I'd get in their face and I'd be like, come on, man. Let's go. You can do it, man. Don't be afraid of these guys, because we were going against the 6'10 guys, right? We were going to probably lose, but I wanted to just win so bad. I wanted to compete. And some of those guys, I know they just thought I was a jerk. They thought I was a jerk. But I loved them just like I love playing. And I wanted them to compete hard because I thought we could win. I really believed it. I don't know why. I'm just always that way. I really think that even if it looks bad, we can win. So that's why I'm telling you that maybe with some of the stuff I'm going through, it could sound like I'm being brash to you. I'm not. Especially those who are watching online and those who aren't online that will watch later. I want you to know that we are God's people and we're disciples of Jesus Christ. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. If we are coming to the last hurrah, let's go hard. Let's go. We're going to win this, and it's not going to be because of our effort. whether we fail or whatever, it's going to be because of what Jesus did. Amen? We're going to win this. So that's why I'm saying these things to you this morning. I don't want you to be someone, I talked to someone this week who's afraid of dying. And it was quite an eye-opener. This person's probably been in church their whole life. And it's amazing because I think that what's happened is we know that there's a date, right? There's a date. Jesus is coming back for sure. We don't know when it is. But I know one thing, if he doesn't come back, each one of us has a date. Okay? And I'm going to have to stand before the Lord. And I guess what? I'm not going to be able to stand there with y'all making excuses for me. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to have to stand there and he's going to say, Scott, this is what I know that you knew to do that you didn't do. And Scott, this is what you actually did that you knew not to do. That's how it's going to go. And I'm going to probably be like, yes, sir. I am so sorry. I mean, it's going to be bad, right? Probably. But I'll tell you this. We have a date, and I want you to know that God loves you. And a lot of times, I think what happens is we Christians, because of that date, we're so afraid of that date that we can only look at the sting of death. And what we do is we forget about the fact that Jesus loves us, and because he loved us, it causes me to love him. You see, when I was away from the Lord, I didn't care about that date. And I wasn't afraid of you scaring me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? If you were one of those sidewalk preachers or whatever trying to scare me about missing heaven, I would laugh at you. I just was that kind of person. But when I found out Jesus loves me, I responded. Don't you be afraid, because we long for someone who loves us like that. We long for someone who wants to have that type of relationship with us. We long to live in a community where people do what's right. We long for those things. Yeah, that's what we look forward to. So we are looking forward to the return of Christ. Please don't sit there and dread it, because if you sit there and dread it, you're missing the point, because that's the day he rescues us, right? So having said that, I'm not blind to the times that we live in. We've been going through Scripture, and I'm not blind to the times that we live in. I can tell you right now, we're in the middle of a series where I'm wanting to try to encourage you all, if you can, to come to church, because we need each other, and we really do. And it's almost like that's where I'm the guy in the doorway of the locker room again. And I'm looking back at my team and I'm like, come on, guys, we need this. We need each other. Stuff like that. Trying to fire them up. That's what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. I don't want you all to misunderstand. I'm not going to get an extra dollar in my paycheck. And the Westland Church isn't going to come down here and pin a medal on my chest because I'm trying to get everybody to come to church. I'm just taking what Scripture says and saying, look, we've already learned. Last couple weeks, the world hates the church. Just does. The world hates the church. Jesus said it does. The world hates the church because the world hates Jesus. The world hated Jesus first. So those who are connected to the church, remember we talked about being rightly connected in the vine? Those who are connected to the church can anticipate not being loved by the world. And I will tell you that there seems to be a large portion of us that really long for the love of the world to embrace us and accept us as equals. And the world's not going to do that. And if you are in that vein where you're really concerned about what the world thinks about us, maybe it's time to reconsider whether or not we're being rightly connected to the vine. Because remember, the world hates Jesus. And because we're branches in that true vine that we learned in chapter 15 of John, the world hates us too, because we're being fruitful in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the true Son of God. Israel, they thought that they were the Son of God. You've heard me say this as a collective group, but Jesus is the true Son of God, and the branches are sons and daughters of God who have to be cleansed periodically because we get dirty in this world. and the world will rub off on us. And so what we hear today very often, and it's becoming more popular to be a Christian in this world, especially with all that's going on in our time, is that Christians are so judgmental because the world doesn't like us existing. Because remember, we also learned that we're reminding the world of its sin, its willful unbelief of Jesus Christ. And so the world doesn't like us always bringing forward the word of God, the word of Christ, which establishes moral law. The world doesn't want to believe, and so the world wants to throw the moral law of God aside. And because the church exists, the world doesn't want us getting together. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know there's a pandemic, but I also know that we can do other things when we want to. And Jesus is making a big statement here in the book of John about the importance of being rightly connected and remaining together. Now, we have to use our brains. Don't misunderstand me. We use our brains. If I have health issues or if I'm not feeling well, no, I'm not going to come. But listen to me. We're living in a time where if this is a time before the return of Christ, he's going to want to see who is not afraid to be seen with other Christians regularly. Hope you all are receiving this well, because I'm just trying to encourage my team. Don't misunderstand what I'm doing here. So, with the world hating us and the world saying things like the church is too judgmental, especially with issues like this, and the church should just stop, or the church is risking our lives by meeting together, all of these statements that's being said, if you are somebody that cares what the world thinks, then here's what happens. You're going to struggle about whether or not you're going to meet with your brothers and sisters in Christ. In fact, if you're someone who just wants to live life in peace, you know what you're going to do? The struggle is going to be that you're going to want to say, I'm going to just keep my head down until this is all over. And yet this could be the test, according to Scripture. So I'm going to look at John 17. And this was addressed to us, those who are going to read, right? Because John wanted us to be those, once we read his testimony about who Jesus is, he wrote this book so that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so it's a snippet from the prayer that Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross on our behalf. Okay? And the disciples are there. And so what Jesus is doing, he's actually praying to his Holy Father on behalf of those disciples that were there. And he wanted them to hear how important it was, because they were going to face tribulation together. Because the moment that Jesus Christ, soon as Judas decided to betray Jesus and he was going to the cross, that moment that he gets on the cross, because the government and even religious, organized religion was working together to put Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross. Does that sound familiar to you? It should, because the world still hates the church. So in that moment, you can believe that all of those who followed Jesus, they were going to be spoken to in ways like the servant girl did to Peter. Weren't you with them? No, I wasn't, Peter said. You remember this story? And she said, I saw you. Because Peter was being seen with his brothers and sisters in the true vine. Y'all see that? And Jesus knew that these disciples were really going to struggle because the world was going to come after them. This is the scene. Let's read it. I'm going to start with verse 6, and I'm going to read to verse 19 from chapter 17, and this is what it says. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world. Don't get confused. He's just saying, I'm not praying for the world to stay as it is. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and the glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be as we are, one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that Scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I'm just going to stop right there, and I'm just going to say this to you. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this. The disciples faced tribulation together while Christ enabled them to stick together. So I've already made the argument, because this is what we've read. Jesus is literally going to go to the cross on our behalf. He's going to be murdered. And so Jesus knew that there was going to be a time where they were going to be scattered, because it was going to look like the world was winning the battle. And if you're a disciple, once you've been depending upon Jesus Christ visually in your life for 3 years, you're going to be discouraged, and you're going to be afraid for your life, because you're going to be afraid of dying, because you're seeing the world is having its day with the Lord and Savior himself. But what they didn't understand is that that was the way God intended it to be. Jesus allowed the world to have that opportunity. And so you're just running for your life. And Jesus knew this was going to happen. So Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father, his holy Father. He said, listen, I know what's coming, and I know what's going to happen. And what my prayer is that they would stick together, that they have learned that I am the true vine. And because I'm the true vine, that they have to stick together and be the branches that are rightly connected in the vine. Father, I would ask that you would help them to stick together. And so what we find in Scripture is that after they've been running, somehow God has them back together in the upper room. Remember that story? They're back together in the upper room. And they're terrified until Jesus shows up, right? And then I'm not so sure they're not over their fear once they see the resurrected Jesus. But Jesus said it is important that they stick together, because if they're going to face tribulation, and you better believe that's what they were going to face, because they were trying to eradicate this new movement of God. Because remember, the world didn't know Jesus, and they sure didn't understand who God the Father is. But the world, remember, in the church, the organized people, I shouldn't say the church, the organized religion and the government working together to make it tough to stomp out this movement. Jesus knew that them being one and sticking together was going to be step one of them to being able to overcome what they were going to face. Christians, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus said, united we stand, divided we fall. Did he not? And it's amazing to me that we're on the cusp of a major pandemic, and it's obvious that the world is trying to ruin the church of Jesus Christ, the church that he has established. The world is trying to ruin it, and we Christians want nothing to do with the church. I'm going to tell you something. We need to reevaluate our faith at times. I have to. Now, either I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, or I don't. And if I don't, then I'm going to be concerned what the world thinks, because I may not be connected to Jesus. I might be connected to the world. Because what you're seeing is you have the world versus Jesus, right? You have one or the other. There's not that in-between stuff. It doesn't exist. And so Jesus said, Father, they have to stick together. Well, what we face, I can tell you right now, we're all going to have to stick together. And we saw that with the disciples, the seeds of the church, right? Let's look at the next thing I want you to see. The disciples face tribulation together while their suffering turned to joy. Now, this was interesting because I was looking at this and I just kept reading this over and over because I was picturing the scene in my head. I'm trying to understand what Jesus is actually, you know, what's he want us to see with this passage that John wrote about him in this prayer. And I'm just thinking about the idea that he's probably in the Garden of Gethsemane. And while he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember the story? And they're sleeping around him. They're not hanging in there with him. They're not remaining awake. But Jesus is praying, right? He's praying. He's like, Lord, take this cup from me if it be your will. You remember this. We'll talk about this before Easter again. But you know what's going on. And so Jesus says something that stands out to me. And he says, Holy Father, he said, what I want is for them to experience the full measure of my joy. Did you all pick up on that? He's dying. He's going to die. In fact, we're not talking like he's going to just go to sleep and not wake back up, right? We know what's going to happen to Jesus. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He's going to go to the cross and it's going to be very brutal. And Jesus is saying, Lord, I want my joy put in my disciples. That'll grow a church, won't it? Yeah, boy, that sounds like a lot of fun, right? We're all going to go to the cross. So I was trying to understand, what is he talking about, this joy? Well, I can be honest with you. I looked at a commentary, and it doesn't really address it. But I know there's something there. And so what I started doing is I just started going back through the book of John a little bit, chapter 16. You know what he's talking about? Jesus uses the same exact word for joy in chapter 16. And Jesus says to the disciples when he's saying, I'm only going to be with you for a little while longer. And they didn't understand what he was saying. He says, I'm only going to be here for a little while longer. And you're going to grieve. You will grieve in a great way. And you're going to suffer. But he said, take heart. He said, it's very much like a woman in childbirth. Some of the ladies know. I don't think any guys do. I know it's the 21st century. But you know that in childbirth, and I'm just taking a word for it, I guess I'm not an authority. I almost feel bad saying it in front of you. But in childbirth, there's a lot of pain that's taking place. And it's a moment that is unbelievable. And you hear the stories from the husbands who say the wrong things during childbirth and get in a lot of trouble, right? Because there's so much pain going on. The joking around. I don't think my wife was joking around. So the joking around that goes on, it's not funny because there's pain. Jesus is letting them know that it's going to be very much like that. because it's going to be after the child is born, there's going to be that moment of joy. What he's telling the disciples, that he's in that moment before that cross, and it's a moment of grief, and he's going to be suffering, but he's going to experience the joy over the new life that is brought from the cross. And what he's telling them now in chapter 17 is this: disciples, you need to stick together, but understand something. It's not going to be easy. You're going to struggle. And because you're going to struggle, it's going to be overwhelming. But take heart. This joy that I have right now is going to be the joy that you are going to have, because your suffering is going to turn to joy. You know, the Christian church in America today, we don't want to suffer. In fact, we think we're suffering if we're not happy 24/7. And I'm going to just say that that's missing the entire point of the gospel. You're reading what I'm reading. I know how to read. You know how to read. This is what Jesus is saying. The church is hated by the world, and whatever comes upon us, if they try to keep us from meeting together, then let me tell you something. We still do so. And the suffering that we may experience, it's not from our... We shouldn't be looking for joy from conformity with the world. We're looking for the joy that will come after the suffering. Because what Scripture continually tells us, you suffer now or you'll suffer later. That's what it says. Look, Jesus said, if you don't want to remain rightly connected in the vine, all you have to do is be ashamed of me before man. Remember Peter? He'd been seen with Jesus. Christians, I may sound harsh today. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just sharing with you what I've read. It seems to matter that we're seen together, sticking together, suffering together with the anticipation of joy that is going to come our way. It's just the way it is. Look at the last thing I want you to see. The disciples faced tribulation together while they were sent into the world. Now, that's interesting because I'm from Indiana, and I told you that a million times. But there was a district in Indiana, and there's a Pilgrim Holiness background in the Wesleyan Church that's up in around that area. And there was a camp. You remember the camps, like Table Rock. And the camp was in Indiana Central, and it used to be the Franklin Holiness Pilgrim College. Pilgrim Holiness College, I don't know why I said it backwards. And so what that camp did is they tried to separate themselves from the world. And so the problem is that Jesus is talking about how important it is for us to be separate from the world, but he's talking about being connected rightly in the vine, because we believe that he is the one who has revealed the Father. The world has seen that he revealed the Father, but the world said, I don't want to believe, because the world wants to stay connected to itself. It doesn't want the moral law of God. It doesn't want to love Jesus and love their neighbors. And Jesus said, don't let them be a part of the world, right? He's saying, let them be separate. But the Pilgrim Holiness people, they thought that that meant we should just go out in the middle of the country and stay away from all of that sin. So the joke was that once it became a campground and it was no longer a college, what happened was the town grew around that campus. They were inundated with the world anyway. And so the problem was, is that the church for years, we thought that we should stay away from the sinners. But look what Jesus' prayer is. He says, God, he says, my Father, I am not asking you to take them out of this world. Now, understand what's being said here. We've been told repeatedly The world hates the church. And he's saying to his father, don't take my church out of the world. Don't take the disciples out of the world. I'm leaving the world. But remember, the Holy Spirit was given to the church, to the followers of Jesus Christ, so that they wouldn't be alone. He said, don't take them out of the world, because Lord, remember when I said, when I was reading, I said, don't fall for what he said when he said, I'm not praying for the world. Don't misunderstand that. Because I was saying, he doesn't want the world to remain in its unbelief. But he said in John 3:16, that for God so loves the world, right? He's made his mind up. He loves the world. So he sent his son into the world. And Jesus said, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. That those who are seen with me visually, those who are living with me and doing things differently than the way the world does because they stand out now, these are the ones I'm saying it's going to get tough on them, but I'm sending them into that tough situation. How many prayers do we hear from people trying to get out of a tough situation? Lord, forgive us. I call that missing the point. We're intentionally in a difficult situation because Jesus, in his long suffering, is waiting for more in the world to repent. And they can't know how to I know it's bad grammar, but they can't understand how to repent unless they see a group of people meeting together who are demonstrating what a repentant life looks like. Can't do it. God loves the world. If you're trying to avoid the world today, can I tell you something? You are going against the will of God. I am not telling you to do what the world does, but I'm telling you that the world is an enemy to you more than likely. If you're speaking the name of Jesus Christ, the world is an enemy to you. And guess what? That enemy is the one that you have to engage to make disciples. That's the will of God. You and I cannot do that hunkering down in our homes and hiding from life. We can't do that. Can you imagine the disciples in the upper room if they never come out? How are they ever going to make disciples? I mean, people could be tuning out on me right now. I understand that. But remember what I told you? I have to stand before the Lord without you all helping me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to tell you. And if I'm wrong, so be it. God gave you the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Word of God. His Word cleanses us, and He will teach you. You seek Him. Ask Him for clarity. But if the disciples never came out of the room and they said, we got to get away from this world, we got to protect ourselves. You heard what Jesus prayed. You did. What would radical faith look like today if people said, we no longer care what the world thinks about us? We are concerned to please our Lord and Savior. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Jesus would be Lord again. Again. We wouldn't be crucifying him on that cross because we're ashamed of him. You know, when I look at Facebook, sometimes I just get the idea many Christians are ashamed of the church. Jesus died for the church because he loves the church. Don't disconnect from the one who loves you. Don't do it. If you're someone this morning who thinks I'm being too harsh, I truly get it. I experienced it coming out of the locker room. I'm used to that. I'm one of those guys. I know I got that personality. You're either going to like me or hate me generally. I get that. I wish I was just a different person, but I can't help it. I'm just the way I am. But I don't want you to misunderstand. Don't think that the pastor's up there trying to, you know, build a church for just the sake of me looking like I'm a success. That's not what I'm doing. Because I love y'all. And you know what? I love the people who are watching. And what just really cranks me up is when I see other pastors or other Christians acting like what stuff that I just read out of Scripture is ludicrous in the time we're living in. Either this is a timeless book or it's not. It really does come back to that. It really does. And I'm tired of my young people being misled. I'm tired of that. And because I love them, I'm compelled to say the truth. And you are too. If you're someone this morning that is thinking, well, Pastor, you know, I tell you, you seem like maybe the suffering, it turns to joy, that's something I should embrace. It is. Every mother will tell you it was worth the suffering. Unless you're my mom. Then you'd be like, might think, well, you know, I don't know. I guess so. But every mother, most of the time, is going to tell you it was worth the suffering because of the joy of having this new life. I don't think I'm wrong about that. But if you don't believe that, all you have to do is ask somebody. But I'm telling you right now, whatever suffering you and I have to do in this day and age, it'll be worth it because we'll be with Jesus and we'll be with, you know what? You probably have family members in heaven right now that you'll be glad to see. Praise the Lord, right? And guess what? We're all going to be doing life the way it should have been done in the first place. If you're somebody who's thinking, Pastor, I don't know if I have the gift of evangelism. I don't think I need to go and evangelize people. Listen, I'm telling you something. Come into the world with the church. Start right there. Don't hide out in your home. Don't try to stay out of trouble. Just start right there. Come into the world where the church is. And that's where Jesus is. And let me tell you, make a disciple. You are around somebody every day that you have influence on who may not know Jesus. But you have the opportunity to do exactly what Jesus wants you to do. Share his love with them. Invite them to church. Yes, they want to shut us down. But what else would you expect from the government or the religious leaders? They sent Jesus to the cross. So right now, I know I feel like I've said more direct stuff than I normally do. And when I go home today, I'm going to be like, well, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Or maybe you could have said it like this. Does anybody else ever do that? I don't know why you said it like that. You could have said it. This would have been so much better. But I'm just simply going to trust that the Lord's having his way with me right now. And I'm just going to commit to that. You commit to that too. If we would all just start making Jesus Lord in spite of the circumstances and the challenges that are being presented to us on a minute-by-minute basis in these days, people will come to Jesus Christ. We disciples, those of us who are disciples, we will face tribulation together, and eventually that tribulation will be turned to joy. So with all heads bowed and eyes closed, if you need to make a commitment to the Lord, if you need strength from God right now, you ask him for it. Stand up and be counted with us. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now. We're grateful for your word. Your word corrects us. It encourages us, but sometimes, Lord, we forget about the correctiveness of your word. Father, I pray that you would help us today to receive what we've heard and understand what you're doing. You are leading us. You are guiding us. You are correcting us. Now, Father, I pray that you give each person that's within the sound of my voice the courage to follow. And Lord, it might just start with by simply being in person in church again. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us take what we've heard and share it amongst everyone else, because that's what you've called us to. Now, Father, I pray that you would watch over us and help us through these times. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.